Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Samach Ches. Before we begin the actual Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a mivne, a structural note. We indicate that this marking scheme continues until Daf Ayin Omed Aleph. The triangle is featured. Sidra Shel She'elois, a series of questions, Be'inyan Haforas Nedorim, regarding the absolution of vows. Under the Nosei, the topic heading, we've written Haforos Ha'orus, Ha'im Hu, the absolution of the Orus, the new husband of a young girl, of a Na'ara, Hamurasa. The topic that we've been discussing since the beginning of the Perek. Ha'im hu, is it Megiz Gaius or Miklish Kolish? These were two expressions that the Gemara will feature. Is his absolution, as we've seen, working in tandem with the father of the girl? Is it a Megiz Gaius, meaning cutting in half, or Miklish Kolish, or is it a weakening of the vow? That sounds a little abstract. What does it mean to cut a vow in half? What does it mean to weaken a vow? So, as we go on in the Gemara, we'll see this explained. Ibayalo, note, by the way, that we have a long marking. This is a long question. Ibayalo bal megiz gaius o miklash kolish. Does the husband, who is working in partnership with the father, when he annuls, is his annulment megiz gaius? Is it cutting it in half, cutting her vow in half, or is it a weakening of her vow? We take a look at Rashi. Megiz Gaius, Rashi on the third narrow line, Mashihu Mefer, that which the husband undoes, absolves, or annuls, Kaitse Tzachatzi Shel Neder, is it a cutting in half of her vow, the Oikroi Legamri, and that half that he cut is in effect uprooting that half altogether. V'chelik Acher K'dekoi Koi, and the other half remains as it was, Ad Osi Av Umefer Lo Sochelik, until the father comes and annuls that half. Oy Miklish Kolish, Rashi goes on, Dahaforoso, his annulling, the husband's annulling, Poshta Bekule Neder, spreads throughout the entire vow, Bekolish Le Bima'at, and weakens the potency of the vow a bit, v'haneder kal mimashoy adachshav, and the vow that remains after the husband does his part in the annulling is lighter, is weaker than it was until now. Now, let's continue in the Gemara. Hecha ko mibayalon. Under what circumstances is this question being raised? Kegon de nodra mitrain zaysin. Imagine the girl, the newly wed wife vowed not to consume 2 olives. We should point out, just in parenthetically, that what we refer to something called a shiur achila, a quantity that constitutes eating, is an olive quantity. So she vowed not to eat 2 olives. V'shoma orus v'heferla v'hasnum. The husband heard about it. He expressed his objection to her vow, and she ate the 2 olives. E amrinon megiz gaius lakya. If we say that the husband's involvement in absolution is a cutting in half, so there were 2 olives that she had vowed not to eat. He cut it in half. That would mean that there remains 1 olive that is completely prohibited. the husband cut out his half, he annulled his half, so to speak, so that the result of that is that the eating of one aleph would be an eating in a state of prohibition, and she would get lashes for eating the prohibited aleph, prohibited as a result of her vow. So that, as we saw earlier, when the husband annuls, according to the Magus Gaia's idea, he cuts it in half, and the other half remains in its original strength. So that the one olive that remains prohibited remains completely prohibited. The consumption thereof, on her part, results in a full-fledged offense, resulting in a full-fledged punishment of lashing. Lashing is the punishment that's given for when one violates a negative command in the Torah. E Amrina, the Gemara goes on to say, if you say Miklish Kolish, that what the husband does is he has an effect on the entire vow, simply weakening the entire vow, then what remains after he annuls his part? Isura bi'almahu, a mere prohibition, but not strong enough to generate a lashing punishment. So with this example, we have a clear illustration of where a practical difference manifests itself between the Magus Gaia's approach versus the Miklish Kolish approach. So the Gemara asks, "My, what is the analysis? What happens after, what happens, or what strength does the husband's annulment have?" Ta Shema. So we try to answer this. And you'll note that we have a long bracketed section. The conclusion of the brackets is found on the bottom line of Amud Beis. If you take note of this Gemara structure, Amud Beis appears as a rather short piece of Gemara, but it's really a continuation of a Tanaic source that we are about to begin with, the Ta Shema that you see right here on Samach Ches Amud Aleph, five lines from the bottom. A Tanaic source starts over here and it continues to Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. It's only at Samach Tes Amud Aleph that we come to a point at which we'll be able to see a response to the question. So until we get to that point, though, having mapped out the Gemara, we're going to see quite a few details regarding husband father annulling of Nara Hamurasa's vows. The topic heading that we have on the side, first we have a double underline featured under the Mivne heading. That is going to, the double underline will highlight the expression Zuhi Shishaninu. There's a concept that is taught in a Mishnah on Daf Ayin. It has to do with the powers of one. When we talk about one, we're talking about one, the father and the husband, the powers of one being cast over to the other. If you happen to have available a Daf Ayin Gemara, you can see the Mishnah that's quoted on the lower part of the page. I'll read it very quickly just to get a flavor of what it says there. It says, Meis ha'av loy nisroikna reshus labal. Meis ha'bal nisroikna reshus labal. The word nisroikna, technically speaking, means something that's poured from one vessel into another, something that's cleared out of one and then put into the other. So the Mishnah describes, with the death of the father, so his powers are not transferred over to the husband. With the death of the husband, however, whatever powers of annulment that he had, they are transferred over to the father. Again, we're speaking in very superficial and somewhat abstract terms, but we're citing that only to be able to appreciate what this Brisa, what this Tanaic source is referring to when it uses that expression. And the double underline highlights the term Zuhi Shaninu. What we'll see in this Tanaic source is this is that which was taught in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Omen Aleph. Under the Tat Nosei, the subtopic heading, we note that this subtopic continues till Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Mosai Amrinon or Lo Amrinon. Under what circumstances do we say or not say Nisroikna or Loi Nisroikna? Rishus Laav or Labal. As we already explained, the powers of annulment transferred from one to the other. As we said before, we're dealing with topics that, when just giving headlines, they sound a bit abstract. We get into the technical, we get into the source, we'll see then a manifestation of these things. So now, without any further ado, we go into the Gemara. Bearing in mind that what we're interested in is discovering how to approach the husband's annulment. Is it Megis Gaius or Miklash Kolish? And we said already that won't be answered until Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Anyway, let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma, Amosai, we're on Daf Samach Chesam and Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Amosai Omru, when has it been said in the case of the Naor Hamurasa, Meis Habal, Nisroikna Rishus La'av? With the death of the husband, he's the Orus, so his powers of annulment are transferred to the father. Bizman, Shaloshoma, Habal, Kodem Shiyomus. One situation is where the husband did not hear the Arusa's, the wife's, vow before his death. Oy Shishoma Vehefer, or he heard and he annulled. Oy Shishoma Vishosak Umeis Bo Bayom, or he heard the vow, remained quiet, but before the end of the day, he died. What is significant about before the end of the day? Within the day framework, the husband had the power to annul. He simply died before the end of the day. Zu hi shishaninu, these three scenarios are included in that which is taught, Mei Sabah, with the death of the husband, Nisroiknu Rishus La'av. The husband's annulment powers are transferred over to the father. Let us take a look at the Rashi. We're looking at the Rashi, four lines from the end. Mei Sabah, Nisroiknu Rishus La'av, Lo'av Atzmo, Mefer Kuloi, Bizman, Shalohefer Abal. The father will do the full annulment in a case where the husband had not annulled. V'chein b'zman shehefer abal, and similarly in a case where the baal did express his objection to the vow, chozer ha'av humefer es chelkei, kidisnan alo b'masnisin, as is taught later in the Mishnah, on daf ayin, bozeh yofa k'yachav mikor ha'baal. It's with this respect that the father has greater strength than the husband. Shav mefer below shufis. There is a scenario where the father of a Naor Hamurasa is annulling without his partner, i.e., the husband. Aval habal eino mefer ela b'chayav. A husband is capable of annulling only during the lifetime of the father, so that you can envision a father annulling without the husband, but the husband cannot annul. Of course, we're talking about an orus. A husband cannot annul unless the father is alive. Let's continue with our Tanaic source. We're continuing to the top line of Amud Beis. Avol im shoma v'kiyem, if the orus heard the vow, and he substantiated it. Oy shishoma v'shosak, or he heard the vow and remained quiet, did not express objection, umeis b'yom shachrov, and then died the following day. In other words, the day went by with the husband remaining silent. That's tantamount to his substantiating the vow. Ein yochol lahofer, the father cannot annul. We have a marking that's featured on the side under the Mivneh, the house shape, Simanu Tchilas Mikrim Kidei Lahokel Al Hakriyav HaSeder. We've highlighted the beginning of different cases just to keep the reading a little more orderly. So we continue. Shama Aviha Vehefrla. The father heard of the vow, and he annulled it. Velo hispik baal lishmoya ad shemei so'av. The husband, however, didn't hear of the vow before the father died. So we have a case of a husband after, let's say, the father, after hearing the vow and annulling his part, the husband didn't do anything. He didn't even hear it until after the father's passing. So now, what is the role of the husband? Zuhi Shishoninu, it's this case that the Mishnah there says, Mei so'av loy nisroikna reshus l'ba. With the death of the father, the husband cannot now annul whatever portion he had the ability previously to annul. As we said before, and Rashi pointed out, that a husband, in the case of an orus, nara hamurasa, that kind of husband does not annul in isolation. He only annuls when he is working together with the father, a living father. We continue. Shoma baila vehefrla. The husband heard the vow, and he annulled. Velo hispiko av lishmoa ad shemeis habal. The father did not hear of the vow prior to the husband's dying. Zuhi shoshoninu meis habal nisreik nirishus ha'alav. In this case, the father is able to annul the second part of the annulment. In other words, take over the role of the husband. What do we mean by that? Here, the husband, in fact, did annul his half. The father didn't hear of the vow until the passing of the husband. At this point, there's still a portion of annulment that wasn't taken care of. The father's portion. Well, the father is able. He's able to do the annulment. Notice the contrast between this case and the previous case. So it's this this situation that the Mishnah describes when it says "Mei so'abal nisroik nishusav." With the husband's death, the annulment powers are transferred over to the father. Another case. Shoma by law vehefer law. The husband heard of the vow and annulled. Velo hispiko av lishmoa ad shemeis. The father didn't hear of the vow prior to his own death. Ein habal yochel lahafer. The husband cannot mefer. He cannot undo. He cannot continue, let's say, the completion of the annulment process. Shein habal mefer le b'shutfus. A husband cannot annul unless he's working in partnership with his partner, namely the father. But the father is now dead. We continue to the top of Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. Shoma Oviha Vehefer Law. The father heard the vow and annulled on the day that he heard it. Velo hispik habal lishmoya ad shemeis. And the husband did not even hear of the vow before he died, before he, the husband himself, died. Choser ha'av u'mefer chelko shabal. The father takes over the portion of the husband in the vow and undoes the husband's portion and annuls. In other words, he finishes the annulment. Omar Rabbi Nosson, hein divrei Beis Shammai. What we learned is in accordance with Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel Oimrim Ein Yochol Lahafer. Now, if we just translate this, we're going to get an incorrect impression. But in order to clarify matters, we'll look eventually into the Rosh commentary. But on a translation level, Beis Hillel says the father who remains after the husband's death, so he cannot be Mefer. What does that mean? So now we're going to look together at the Rosh commentary from the beginning of the Rosh on this Omid. Shama aviyo v'hefer lov lo hispik habal l'shmoya ad shemes chozer avu mefer chelko shobal. The father hears, annuls. The husband doesn't do anything. He doesn't even hear of the vow prior to his own death. The father continues the annulment and annuls the portion that would have been annulled by the husband. Hach lo sham inon meresha. This point we did not hear from the beginning of the source. The came on the hefer ho'av b'chayabal. Since in this case the father annulled during the lifetime of the husband, v'lo hutra b'isafora, and there wasn't a release of the vow with the father's annulment, shuv lo toil haforoso. This is what we would have thought, that there would be no more effective annulment. De lo motzinu shtei haforos b'ish echad. We don't find two annulments on the part of one man. So at this seifa, the end of the source here, reveals to us that in fact one man, the father, is doing both annulments. The Rosh continues, Hein hein divrei Beis Shammai. What we learned in this source is in accordance with Beis Shammai, the Svira Lahu, Beis Shammai holds Megiz Gaiz. And here we get to the main reason for bringing in this entire source. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the husband's annulment is a cutting in half. Ukshefer Av, when the father did his annulment, Nishar Chelek Habal Sholem Beisuro. The portion of the husband that was left untouched, because the husband died before even hearing the vow, that remains intact in its original state of prohibition and strength. V'zocha b'yav, and the father takes over that. He inherits that, so to speak. U'mefir chelku shabal. Since it's a complete, full entity of unannulled vow, the father takes it over. The Rosh continues, Avol Beis Hillel Savri Miklish Kolish. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that when you're dealing with the father and husband, each the one annulment, simply the one of the two annulments, the one weakens. The Kevon de Lo Efsher Denishar Chelek Habal Sholem Ein Boy Kidei Lahoirisho La'av V'lo Tofsa Bo Zechiyo V'eino Av Yochel Lahofer Chelek Habal. Since the vow, after the father did his annulment, remains in full, just weakened, that is something that cannot be taken over by the father. In the beginning of the Brisa, where the husband did annul umes and then died, dinisroiknu reshus la'av umefer lakol, there the power was, or that which remained was transferred to the father, and he finishes off the annulling. V'lo amrinon, and we don't say the following, miyad shehefer abal miklish kolish chelek la'av, that as soon as the husband did the annulment, the portion remaining for the father is weakened. Veshuv ein lo hafora kashemes habal, and then there's no more hafora power left with the death of the husband. Say that we don't say. The daf kehecha de mikdash kolish chelik habal idei hafora saav ein ho av yochol liskois boy. It's only where the husband's portion is weakened through the annulling of the father, where the father did the initial annulling, the husband's portion is weakened, then Einu Av Yochol Lizkos Boy Avol Bereisha Sha'av Kayim Yochol Hu Lahofer Chelkoi Af Al Gav the Miklish Kolish. In the Reisha, the father can do the annulment of his portion, even though it's weakened. Nami Mefer Chelek Habal. With all that we've said, we didn't explain all the details that the Rosh conveys, but we see clearly that the Beis Hillel approach to the annulling of the father and the husband, that one of their annulments, in effect, is a weakening of the original vow, not a cutting in half. So we conclude the Gemara by reading on the fourth line from the top, Shema Mino. We conclude from here, LeBeit Shammai Megiz Gaius. According to Beit Shammai, the annulment of one is a cutting in half of the vow, and LeBeit Hillel Miklish Kolish. According to Beit Hillel, it's a weakening of the vow, Shema Mino. And this is conclusive. Let us look together at the Rashi commentary, starting with the Rashi on the third line from the top. Beis Hillel Oimrim Ein Yochol LaHofer, and here we're going to get a different approach than that which we saw in the Rush. When you look at the original source, and when we read it, we said that on a translation level, you get one impression, but when you look deeper into the commentaries, you're going to get a different impression. The initial impression that we got, I think you saw, in fact, in the Rosh. However, when you look at Rashi, let's continue. Beis Hillel said, Beis Hillel Omrim Ein Yochol Ofer Chelkus Shel Baal Bilvad, the father who remains after the death of the husband, he doesn't undo the portion of the husband alone, on its own. Elo im kein choyzer u'meifir chelko imoy. This is what we did not see in the Rosh. In the case we saw where the father had heard the vow annulled, he annulled the vow, the husband had not heard the vow until he died, Beis Hillel in the source said, well, there's a father who survives the husband, he cannot be mefer. What that means is he can't be mefer just the portion of the husband. Rather, he is mefer his portion all over again together with the husband's. Mishum desvira lehu, because Beis Hillel is of the opinion, Miklish, Hecha de Hefer Chad below Chavre, that there is a weakening that takes place that when one annuls without the other. Vakati avi haneder sholem, and as a result, the vow is extant in its entirety, Elosheini sura chomur kibatchila, with simply a reduced level of severity. As a result of that, the father that survives the husband has to re-annul his portion along with the husband's portion. And Rashi throws in here the husband's portion that gets transferred to the father. Again, this is something we did not see in explicit terms in the Rosh. Ubei Shammai Savri Megiz Kogayas Kikidam Ha'av Hefer Chelkoi, when the father was the first to annul, and he annulled his portion in the vow, Chotchoi L'Shnayim, he cuts it in half, in his Batil Chetzio, and then with that half is gone. V'adayin Chetzio Kayim, the other half is still intact. Kshemefer Achshav Chelkoi Shabal Havi Shalom Mufar, when the father, after the death of the husband, does a second annulment, he's annulling the husband's half. Shema Mina, what we see from this is the Tanoihi, the issue that was raised at the beginning of this section of Gemara, is a husband Megiz Gaez or Miklish Kolish, is a Machloikis Tanoim or Miklish Kolish Ke Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Hillel, the effect of his annulment is to weaken the entire vow, leaving an entire vow in a weakened state after one had done his annulment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You might want to get in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.